Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get the fuck up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts, in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church, forever and ever. Fall in. Psalm 109, verses 21 through 31. But you, O God, my Lord, deal on my behalf for your name's sake, because your steadfast love is good, deliver me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is stricken within me. I am gone like a shadow at evening. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting. My body has become gaunt with no fat. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they wag their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me according to your steadfast love. Let them know that this is your hand. You, O Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you will bless. They arise and are put to shame, but your servant will be glad. May my accusers be clothed with dishonor. May they be wrapped in their own shame as in a cloak. With my mouth I will give great thanks to the Lord. I will praise him in the midst of the throng. For he stands at the right hand of the needy one to save him from those who condemn his soul to death. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 18 through 32. And I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor keep their rules, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules, and keep my Sabbaths holy, so that they may be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. But the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes and were not careful to obey my rules, by which, if a person does them, he shall live. They profane my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them and spend my anger against them in the wilderness. But I withheld my hand and acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations, in whose sight I had brought them out. Moreover, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the nations and disperse them through the countries, because they had not obeyed my rules, but had rejected my statutes and profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were set on their fathers' idols. Moreover, I gave them statutes that were not good, and rules by which they could not have life, and I defiled them through their very gifts and their offering up until their firstborn, that I might devastate them. I did it that they might know that I am the Lord. Therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel and say to them, thus says the Lord God, in this also your fathers blasphemed me, by dealing treacherously with me. For when I had brought them into the land that I swore to give them, then wherever they saw any high hill or any leafy tree, there they offered their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. There they sent up their pleasing aromas, and there they poured out their drink offerings. I said to them, what is the high place to which you go? So its name is called Bama to this day. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, will you defile yourselves after the manner of your fathers, and go whoring after their detestable things? When you present your gifts and offer up your children in fire, you defile yourselves with all your idols to this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, declares the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. What is in your mind shall never happen. The thought, let us be like the nations, like the tribes of the countries, and worship wood and stone. Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming to the whole world, to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, And I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, who comes down from my God out of heaven, and my new name, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Good morning, and welcome to the 12th Tuesday after Pentecost. This is Brother Logan Isaac broadcasting from Laguna Niguel, California. This morning's readings come to us from Psalm 109, Ezekiel 20, and Revelation 3. And it wasn't this yesterday I missed, sorry. But late last week in the anticipation of this Sunday's readings, we heard about discipline and how, you know, a parent disciplines a child, and that's how you know that God loves us. And in these two readings, it talks about these punishments, and it's not uncommon in the prophetic literature to hear about how horribly Israel has, you know, profaned their covenant with God. And I was actually talking to one of my siblings, and we were kind of hemming and hawing about, like, our mom is this really interesting character. And she can be kind of cagey, and we kind of wondered if maybe she had a kind of a difficult childhood. And through our great aunts and uncles, my sibling has heard some stories that suggest, yeah, the childhood was really rough, worse than ours. But apparently my grandmother suffered a head injury shortly after high school, and she was a valedictorian. She was super smart, but after she suffered this injury from a car accident that she was hit, her personality changed. And when she had kids, apparently she was really hard, especially on my mom, who was the older of the two kids. And it was just a really difficult home situation. And of course, when I was a kid, all I saw was, you know, a sweet and doting grandmother who made me peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in the morning. And there's a danger in, you know, the language of, look, I'm disciplining you because I love you. And I say that because, I mean, I know that my mom loved me and my dad loved me, but they also didn't beat me. They, you know, it was kind of par for the course of the day. Like, I got spanked, and that's fallen out of favor, and I think for good reason. But, like, I didn't get treated the way my mom got treated. And the remnants of that treatment, even her own children can see. That discipline it's not a one-to-one equation, right? I think it's dangerous to let some of this language go, like, unexamined, right? Because God was really harsh on Israel. They were exiled, they were destroyed, and, like, it sucks, it's true. And I want to differentiate how we and the Israelites make meaning from tragedy, and what that says about who we are and the community that we are constituted by, on the one hand, and on the other, taking the same language and stories to justify bad behavior. Because I know it happens. Everybody knows it happens. I think that what the Israelites were doing, were trying to make sense of this horrible tragedy, whether that's the exile or the destruction of the 10 tribes, like, ah, God must be here somewhere. God must be mad at us. We must have done something wrong. We then can use this information to make our lot in life better. That's different from saying, oh, well, God did this, and so we get to do this. The humility of the former can be overshadowed by the arrogance of the latter. There are two different acts: trying to make meaning from tragedy and seeing God in it. And I'll get to that, why that's important in a moment, on the one hand. And then on the other, seeing what we think God did, what we say we think God did, legitimately, we really think God did this. And then saying, well, if God did, then I can do it. Because I'm a God, right? There's a problem there. I want to contrast that with, and I think it's important to contrast that with, you know, the taking that meaning making and applying it in the same kind of way to make sense of why that's important, that God might discipline people, children that he loves. So we can look back and say we did something wrong and therefore God was trying to correct us because God gives a shit. My mom, one of the clearest memories I have was when I got arrested for shoplifting. And my mom has no problem yelling and making it very clear that she's angry and why. But when she picked me up at the police station and I was arrested for shoplifting because both my parents worked multiple jobs and I got arrested at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and no adult was home until after the store had closed. They couldn't release me to a parent. So they had to release me to the police department at, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night. That's how much my parents worked. And when my mom got there to the police station, she didn't say a word. And that conveyed so much more to me than angry, loud words. But imagine if that you had a parent for whom that was common, who didn't give a shit, who was maybe not absentee, maybe was there, but like, or maybe wasn't there, I don't know. Like, contrasting a God who cares and disciplines because God wants you to be the kind of person that you were created to be, and on the other hand, a God that is seemingly never there, who doesn't care, who doesn't discipline, and you do bad things, people get hurt, and no one's the wiser, right? That is the kind of God that Israel is saying, we do not have that kind of God. We don't have this capricious, fly-off-the-handle God, and we also don't have a God that just only cares that we worship God and everything else, like whatever. We have a God who cares. And it's not that I knew that my mom cared, but it made me think about the kind of family for which that might be normal. Because I was like trying to figure out, like, is she mad? Is she that? When we got to the car, she said, what I may have said something like, are we going home or something? I don't know. But she said, you know, this isn't the first time this has happened. And so she knew that I had been shoplifting for, I don't know, weeks or months or whatever. She didn't say anything because she was hoping that I would learn, right? She didn't discipline me. She knew it was happening. That's not her fault. That's my fault. She, you know, she gave me some rope and I hung myself by it. And so I think we need to be careful about how we receive this text, how we consider what the text is doing for the Israelites, instead of just saying, oh, okay, well, this is, quote unquote, the word of God, and clearly God does these things, so it's okay for us to do these things. No, that's not what the text is saying. And to be aware of the kind of God that Israel is deliberately going out of the way to show the world it does not have. We don't have a God that is inactive. We don't have a God that is happy to receive worship and, you know, who gives a shit when we stop, you know, get out of right relationship with God. God does care. God is invested. God is passionate. Like the Greeks were, it's not a Greek God. However much, you know, Greek philosophy we put on God later, God is not Greek. God is a God of the Hebrews. And what that means for us in, you know, 2,000 years after God's full disclosure in Christ, like, we have to be careful not to just assume that just because God did it, it's okay for us to do it, on the one hand, and also to lose sight of the kind of God that Israel is showing us that it worships. And I think there's a very fine distinction, but a very important distinction to make in those two, those kind of moves. a prayer for the whole human family, adapted from the Book of Common Prayer. O God, you made us in your image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time, all cultures and genders may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you for falling into First Formation, where PewPewHQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast at patreon.com/pewpewhq. You can contribute as little as a dollar a month, and you can cancel at any time if I ever piss you off. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instructions will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off-air. So there you have it, three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I can't convince you to jump in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.